Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is joy. Joy at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Joy. Joy at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. 4 points of attention. The first one is a kind of introduction. Joy. Where do we meet joy here in Luke 2? Joy. Secondly, glory. That joy has everything to do with glory. What is glory? Glory. Thirdly, glory in the highest. That glory comes from heaven. We hear it from the mouth of the angels. And fourthly, glory proclaimed by the shepherds. So, joy at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. First, joy. Second, glory. Three, glory in the highest. Four, glory proclaimed. So first, joy. Well, there can't be any mistake. At Christmas, there is joy. Or isn't there joy in your heart? When we see that child in the manger, and we understand by the life-giving Spirit what a child is, there is a song of joy in our life. It can't miss. There is joy. My Savior, my Messiah, my God, my Goel, my all. Well, you hear it everywhere. In the stories here in the Bible around the birth of Christ. Let me give you 10 examples of that joy. 10 verses. And there's maybe even more. I didn't look exhaustive. First of all, Luke 1, verse 14. We hear the angel Gabriel when he visits Zechariah. And we hear him saying, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Later on, we hear the same angel Gabriel, and he comes to Mary. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel Gabriel said unto Mary, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." What a reason for joy. Thou hast found favor with God. Fear not. In other words, joy. Have joy. But there is also joy with Elizabeth when she meets Mary. Luke 1, verse 41. And verse 42. And just pay attention that there is not only joy with Elizabeth, there is also joy with John. That babe still in the womb there. But there is joy with John. Isn't that amazing? There is a double joy there. Luke 1, verse 41 and 42. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe John leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She's full of joy. Later, Elizabeth tells her story to her neighbors. And hear how they rejoice after her delivery of John. Luke 1, verse 58. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced. And you see the circle widening and widening, and more people are rejoicing in those days. But it still continues. Luke 2, verse 10. There is an angel in the middle of the night, and he meets the shepherds there. And we read Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not regular joy, but great joy. And then later on, because one angel isn't enough, there is a choir of angels singing. Luke 2, verse 14. What a joy in heaven with the angels. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward man. What a joy. What a joy. And it continues. The shepherds, full of joy, Luke 2, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Full of joy, these shepherds. And then later on, oh, it continues and continues. Luke 2, verse 38, there are Simeon and Anna, and they rejoice seeing the little baby Jesus. And we hear Anna, Luke 2, verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when you open the other Gospels, you hear also about joy. Joy. By example, the joy of the wise men in Matthew 1, verse 12. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, conclusion. Christmas is a time of joy. No, not because of the lights in your house or a Christmas tree or being together or the meal. Of course not. But joy because of Jesus, the light of the world. How God in Jesus came down to earth to seek out lost sinners, to bring them to life. Therefore, joy. Christmas is indeed a time of joy. And again, this question, before we move on to the second thought. Does this resound in your heart? Is there joy? If there is no joy with Christmas, please, please ask yourself, why is there no joy? Did you lose sight on Jesus Christ? Or maybe you never found him, you never really saw him. And turn into yourself and go in repentance to the Lord and ask him, Lord, give me that joy, that I may see and behold thy glory in Jesus Christ and may indeed know that joy personally. Dear congregation, you can't without that joy. What to do in heaven? It's a place of bringing praises to the Lord. It's only joy there. Well, the second thought, glory. This joy here has everything to do with God's glory. It is God's glory that breaks through. And that glory that breaks through in the darkness of the world and in lost hearts of sinners, that glory brings to joy. It's the purpose of life, isn't it? In the Westminster Confession, that famous question, right? What is the purpose or goal of life? You know the answer, isn't it? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You see, the glory of God, seeing and beholding the glory of God, and you see and behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ, brings joy, and that's the purpose of life. So again, if there is no joy in your life, ask yourself, why not? Ask yourself if you're really a child of the Lord. Or is there something in between you and the Lord? Well, glory and joy. And indeed, in Luke 2, we read about the glory of God. 3 times, that number of fullness. Oh, we read 9 times in Luke 9, 1 and 2 about joy. And we read 3 times about glory, because that joy is founded upon the glory of God. First in verse 9, there we read about that glory. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, in the night, on the fields. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them. There they were standing in the glory of God. It surrounded them. And then again in verse 14, you hear about the glory of God. We hear the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Glory again. First at one angel there on earth. He brought God's glory, and that glory surrounded the shepherds. And then later on, that choir of angels, glory of God in heaven. And then for the third time in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They saw the glory of God. They heard about the glory of God. They saw the glory of God. And they began to proclaim the glory of God. It's all about the glory of God. And that glory of God brings joy. But what is it? Glory. Children, can you explain to me the word glory? Glory. And what is the glory of God? And what is it to glorify God? What is it, glory? Well, the best thing we could do to understand that word glory, let's start here, is to open the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the word used for glory is kabot. Kabot. And that means, in the literal sense, to be heavy. Well, indeed, God is heavy. God is the most heaviest one, because he is the most glorious one, the most heaviest one. But what is it to be heavy? What is it to be heavy? What is it to be glorious? Well, 2 pictures. You could think about, you know, that large rock. You're traveling through a mountain area, and there you see suddenly that enormous rock before you. An enormous, heavy, and large rock. Well, that rock is heavy. It is massive. Right? It is unshakable. And that rock is an image of firmness, stability, unshakability, eternity. Well, that's a good picture of the Lord. The Lord is indeed firm, unshakable, eternal. He is heavy like that rock is heavy. A second picture. Think of a tree. A tree of fruit. For example, an apple tree. And you see the branches of that tree laden with delicious fruit. And there is so much fruit on these branches that these branches tilt downward. Well, these branches and the tree, they are heavy with fruit. Heavy. That's a nice picture of God. God is so heavy, and his glorious heaviness bends down towards this fallen earth and to man. His glory is not only for himself. His glory extends to his creatures. That's God's glory. Let's go one step further. What is it, the kabod, that God is heavy? And why do we see that glory and kabod, that heaviness here in Luke 2? But first, again, the Old Testament. Sometimes in the Old Testament, you read that the people of God are glorious. It speaks of the glory of the people of God. And in those situations, it speaks about the riches or the wealth of the people of God. They are heavy, blessed by God, in a literal sense, heavy with possessions, heavy with goods. So it is with the Lord. The Lord is the creator of heaven and earth, and everything that exists are his work. He is the owner of the vast universe. He is the owner of earth and everything that dwells on earth. The Lord is indeed heavy, heavy. In creation and universe, they express God's glory, that God is heavy because he is the owner and creator and sustainer of everything. Everything in which we live and breathe expresses God's glory. What a king he is, indeed. So heavy, so glorious. And that glory of God evokes praises in us. When we are mindful that the universe and the earth and everything we have and possess, and even we ourselves are the works of God's hand, and we start praising God. When we see his glory that he is so heavy with possessions, that he is the most mightiful king, then we start praising him. There is joy. There is a jubilation of joy that is my God. My God is the owner of everything, and he is my God in Christ. And we begin to magnify him with our songs of jubilation. And with Christmas, we hear that that glorious and rich God gave the best he had, his only begotten Son, to fallen humankind, to fallen people. Amazing. And he himself, Jesus Christ, is the expression of God's glory. I'll come back on that later, what that means. He is the full and complete expression of God's glory. But there is more to say. Oh, indeed, God is glorious because he owns everything. Everything we possess is owned by God. But there's more to say. Because the glory of God has an origin. It comes from his inner being, from his heart, his mind, his soul. It comes from his inner being. His true glory is who God is in himself. That's his glory. If we see the riches and the beauty of God in his inner being, the variety of his existence and the beauty of his existence, that's his glory. He himself is a God of glory. This is how the Bible speaks about God's glory. Then it speaks about his inner being. To give you a few examples, first of all, the Bible speaks again and again about God's holiness. God is holy. He is holy. That's his glory. He is utterly different from we, totally different, far above us, so holy, and we are so unholy. His holiness means that he is raised far above us. His holiness is that he is glorious, and his glory is that he is holy. But that holiness of him, he is holy and glorious in everything he is. He is glorious and holy in his righteousness. He's totally righteous. There is no iniquity, no sin, no fault with him. Nothing. He's totally righteous. He's glorious, heavy in righteousness, but he is also heavy and glorious in goodness, in mercy, in patience and long-suffering, in faithfulness, in everything. Just two texts from the Old Testament which show that inner being of God and how he is full of glory in his inner being and what that glory and that inner being is. Exodus 16, verse 7. We hear Moses saying to the murmuring people around him, "In the morning, tomorrow, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" What do you expect? There are murmuring people. And Moses tells them, tomorrow morning you will see the glory of God. What is that glory of God? What is that holiness of him? In what is he heavy? In his judgment? We would expect it, right? Well, listen then, what happens the next morning? What does the Lord do the next day? He comes with manna, bread from heaven. You see, that's the glory of God. It is his overflowing goodness, his mercy, his patience, his grace, his love, his faithfulness towards his people. That's his glory, that's his inner being, and that's what we see expressed in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is the expressed image of God's glory. What a reason to joy. But back to the Old Testament, Moses asked the Lord, Exodus 34, "Lord, may I see your glory?" Do you long to see God's glory? Do you long to see God's glory? Well, the Lord appeared to Moses. He passes by in that breeze of a gentle silence. And then Moses hears and sees God's glory. And what does he hear? He hears God's glory. What is God's glory? He hears the Lord. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the glory of God. And now we come close to the child there in that manger, Jesus Christ. Do you understand that John says, in him we see God's glory? He is full of God's glory and holiness, grace and truth. Oh, what a beautiful child, what a gift he is. Well, God's glory, the third thing about God's glory is indeed like that fruit, that delicious fruit, hanging on that tree, growing on that tree, and these branches indeed, right? They bend down. There is Christ, the delicious and beautiful fruit, his only begotten Son, comes down to earth. God bends down. He condescends to us so that every one of us could pluck him, right? To be, to get him, to receive him. God wants creation and fallen creatures to share in his glory, in his love, in his righteousness, in his goodness, in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, in his compassion, in his holiness. All of that. God does not keep it for himself. But he gives his Son, Jesus Christ, to restore lost glory in humankind. Does this not call for praise? Of course it does. It calls for a life in gratitude and praise. And so we come across verse 9 and look 2. The first verse which speaks about God's glory. Until now, we discussed God's glory with the light of the Old Testament, that God is heavy. And that heaviness is not only that he created everything and is the owner of everything, the mighty ruler, the king of heaven and earth, that vast universe, but it is his inner being, totally righteous. That all, that fountain of overflowing goodness, that's God's glory. And now we come in Luke 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds in the field. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. All this moment here, there in the fields of Ephrata, in the middle of the night, is so glorious. What a moment it is. What it is. Amazing. In the Old Testament, you hear also about the glory of God shining around people. By example, in that pillar of cloud and fire, in that pillar was God's glory hidden. The pillar of cloud and fire, God's glory. You hear in the Old Testament about God coming down, descending to Mount Sinai in his glory. And when Moses came down from the mountain, you saw God's glory in his face. So God's glory around his people. Or by example, you hear about the glory of God at the dedication of the tabernacle and the temple. When the temple is dedicated under King Solomon, then God descends with his glory into that house. And there he is. His glory descends on earth. But in Old Testamentic times, it was all hidden. It was all fake. His glory was shrouded in a cloud. It was covered with a cloud. Because seeing God means that we die immediately. Therefore, the glory of God was shrouded. And the glory of God, when the glory of God appeared in these Old Testamentic days, it was always temporary. Just remember how the glory of God also left the temple again. Once God came down at the dedication of the temple with his glory, but later on he left because of the sin and the sinfulness of his people. And he left, his glory left the temple, that holy temple. But this night is different. God's glory comes down in Jesus Christ, and it will stay on earth. It will never leave. And God's glory, you can see it face to face in Jesus Christ, not shrouded in a cloud, not covered with a cloud, but you can see God's glory brilliant in Jesus Christ. Oh, in him you see the fullness of God's glory. He is the express image of God's glory. In him you see that God is heavy in love, in goodness, in compassion, in forgiving. All of it. All this night, here in Luke 2, is totally different from all other nights. Well, the angel explains why. Right? Verse 11, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. God's glory has descended to earth. He gave his Son. Christ the Lord has been born. What a message. What a message. The Lord shines with his glory upon the shepherds. Shepherds, as they are told that the Savior is born. their Savior. God became flesh in his Son. What a wonder and a miracle. The long-awaited Messiah has been born. And what is he going to do? To show God's glory. How? How? He is showing in Jesus Christ, right? You see the beauty of God's excellencies. You see the beauty of God's heart, the riches of God, the overflowing riches of God you see in Jesus Christ, because he breaks the power of sin at Calvary's cross. When you are in him, that's our problem, right? We are often not in him. But when we are in him by faith, the power of sin has been broken totally. In him. That's God's glory. And he brings it back. What is God's glory as you see it in Jesus Christ? That he takes away the guilt of sin in Jesus Christ. That's his glory. That's God's heaviness. He forgives. Oh, you see God's glory in that Jesus Christ is reconciling rebels with righteous God. That's God's glory. You see God's glory in Jesus Christ that he brings to life dead sinners. You see God's glory in Jesus Christ that he brings light where there is darkness. You see God's glory in Jesus Christ when he put into freedom when there is bondage, slavery. In Jesus Christ, the child in the manger, indeed, we see God's glory. We see God in his heart, in his inner being, and we see his beauty in his love and faithfulness and goodness and compassion. What a glory. And hear the space in the message of the angel about God's glory. Hear the space in it. It is a message for all the people. In first instance, it means all the people of Israel. But we know later on, after Christ has finished his work, that this will fan out to all the nations. So God's glory is not only announced to the angel, to the shepherds there in that field. God's glory is announced and is coming down on earth, descended to earth. Why? For all Israel and later on to all nations. God's glory is coming back in Jesus Christ. God is restoring that original image of him in humankind. We lost his glory. Oh, we were made full of his glory. That's his image, right? We were full of his glory. An image of his righteousness and holiness and wisdom and strength. All of that. We lost it. And here God's glory comes back. And it shines around the shepherds. And it even enters their heart. How amazing this is. Well, before we move on to our last two thoughts, let us first sing a psalter, Psalter 242, that's Psalm 89, and we'll sing all four stanzas. God, the source of joy. Psalm 89, Psalter 242. Well, the third thought is glory in the highest. As we read in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. How impressive this must have sounded in the middle of the night. That choir of heavenly angels, and they chant with a mighty and strong voice, glory to God. This is what they do continually in heaven, bringing glory to God because he is the most glorious one. But why? Why do they sing and praise God's glory on this particular moment? They were looking forward to this moment all the past centuries. The prophets in the Old Testament, they prophesied that the Messiah will come. He will restore his glory. He will bring his people to his glory. He will share his glory with his people so they will receive peace. And then we read in 1 Peter 1, in which things the angels desired to look into. The angels. All the time, they desire to know God. How are you going to restore your glory? God, how will you bring your glory back? Earth is filled with rebels. All and everyone is filled with sin. They are all sinners. Lord, there is none righteous, not to one. And thou art glorious and holy in thy righteousness. How will thy bring thy righteousness back on earth? Sins as a righteous God, thou hast to punish. Evildoers. Oh, they were longing to see how God would restore his glory on earth. And here on this day, their eyes are opened. Oh, now they understand God's plan. They see that God gave his only begotten Son. He is the express image of his glory. And he is God's glory totally, fully in righteousness. That's why he died at Calvary's cross. In love, that's why he gave his life. In goodness, in compassion, that's why we hear it. And we can continue and continue. In Jesus Christ, we see the beauty of God's glory. And that's why the angels shout out, they chant that heavenly choir, right? Glory to God! He is going to restore his glory. A lost people will share in his glory again. His image in fallen mankind will be restored in the wondrous gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, you hear several things in this wonderful song. What a wonderful song. First of all, you hear about heaven and earth, right? Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace. So you hear about heaven and earth. That glory erupts in heaven. The glory of God dwells in heaven. The glory of God originates in heaven. But here in Jesus Christ, it comes down to earth. It condescends, it descends to earth. It's his gift. He brings his glory back. Oh, that God's glory is restored, is totally and fully God's work. God's work. The fall of man is entirely due to us. We are sinners. It's our choice. We brought ourselves so low that we are slaves. That's our choice. But man's salvation is entirely God's work. And the angel stands in awe. Lord, that thou hast mercy and grace on thy creatures. These are rebels there in Providence Reformed Church. Lord, how is it possible? Glory to God in heaven. And now on earth, peace in Jesus Christ and goodwill toward man. Oh, that child in the manger, he does not only show God's glory, he is God's glory. He is God's glory in his humble birth. That's God's glory. He is God's glory in his lying there in that manger. That's God's glory. Because you look God in his heart, full of compassion and love. You see in Jesus Christ God's glory because you see it in all his miracles. He's going to restore everything. There will be peace and fullness and harmony again. You see God's glory in Jesus Christ in the words he spake. Precious and special words full of power and strength. You see his glory, the glory of God in Jesus Christ, in how he gathered people around him and how all these people followed him. That's his work. That's his glory. You see God's glory in Jesus suffering and dying. You see God's glory in Jesus resurrection and ascension. Jesus Christ is God's glory. Well, there is a second pair here. So heaven and earth, God's glory comes down to earth in Jesus Christ. But secondly, God and people. The divine glory, it doesn't stay in heaven. No, God's glory descends on earth to people, extends to people, or surrounds people. Remember the shepherds there in the field and the glory of God surrounded them. Nobody even enters into them. And these shepherds are transformed because the glory of God enters them by the Holy Spirit through faith. This morning we heard about the reaction of faith, right? The response of faith with the shepherds. Well, and through spirit and faith, God's glory entered into their heart. They are full of glory. And God reaches out. To whom? To everyone who hears them. Everyone can reach him because he reaches out to everyone. That's why he came down in that manger. You can't miss it, right? It's for the lowest people, for the biggest sinners. For the most humble and downward people, it is for everybody. But then pride must not get in the way. And there is a problem. We are such proud and selfish people. Conceit prevents us from entering this manger. No, we cannot come to that manger as a king. We come as a beggar. With empty hands. We must take up that cross after Jesus Christ. But then on that way, taking up our cross, bowing down before Jesus Christ, finding God's glory in him, then God's glory will enter us by spirit, by faith, and we will become a temple of God's glory. Isn't that amazing? Temple of God's glory. Well, there is a third pair here in this wonderful song. It is about heaven and earth, right? It is about God and people. It's also about glory and peace. Let's read it again. Glory to God, glory, in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. God's glory in this child in the manger comes down to bring peace, wholeness, harmony. Oh, this world is torn apart by evil and misery. But all of that is healed there in Jesus Christ. He is the great healer. He is the great bringer of peace. How does it work? As leaven in the dough. This child will enter into the hearts of people through word and spirit. And it will, and these people will become prophets, image bearers of God's glory. And so it spreads around the globe. Well, what a wonderful song this is. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Well, these shepherds, they are full of the glory of God, not only surrounded with the glory of God, but they are filled with that glory. They are full of that gift of God's glory, the child which is God's glory. And we see faith, right? They go with haste, we heard this morning, and they find Mary and Joseph and the child as they were told. Of course, because we can trust God's promises. Of course, this is how faith worked, we hear this morning. Man goes out on God's word, and you will find it as God has promised. That's faith. He goes out as a beggar, will find the riches of God's promises true. He who goes out as a wretched sinner to Christ will find, according to the promises, total forgiveness and righteousness in him. He confesses all his sins, will find forgiveness of all his sins in Jesus Christ. That's faith. Well, and these shepherds, they leave these fields, the fields of Ephrata, as totally different men. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, Mary, Joseph, the babe, Jesus Christ, according to God's word, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They are going to proclaim God's glory. Jesus Christ, the Savior. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What a glorious end this is. Well, did you see on this Christmas day the glory of God in Jesus Christ? How he is God's gift to restore his glory in us fallen, sinful people. And God condescends so low, so low. Oh, and whoever finds Jesus Christ finds peace and will sing with joy because of this precious gift. Who is this Jesus, this child in the manger, for you? Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, which we heard from Luke 2. What a gift this is, the gift of your Son. How special this gift is. Oh Lord, what a wonder it is that thou restorest one-sided thy glory in us, fallen people. We lost thy glory, but in Jesus Christ thou restorest thy glory in fallen people. Oh Lord, restore thy glory in each one of us, in every one of us, that none of us will get lost. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh Lord, open our eyes for the beauty of thy glory, the beauty of Jesus Christ, that precious gift. Lord, go with us next week, that we may be followers of Jesus Christ. Follow him as cross bearers, finding our peace in him, filled with thy glory. thy righteousness, thy holiness, thy wisdom in and through word and spirit. Lord, hear our prayer, receive our thanks in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 319. Psalter 319. That's Psalm 118. We'll sing the first two stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 319. Psalm 118. Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessings of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.